Stay Young when we come back.
All right, we'll play that, and that'll be maybe the theme music.
Ockerville River, Stay Young.
For our boy Todd Furman joining us from Las Vegas right now, a man who came from the ghettos, the slums, the ashes,
rose
like a phoenix.
Like a fiery phoenix.
And now he's on Fox Sports 1, Mr. Todd Furman joining in Vegas. What up, Todd? What's going on, buddy?
What the hell am I walking into this morning, guys?
You don't. Let me tell you something, Todd.
Furman versus McLemore.
That's right, baby. All right.
Undercard of Canelo versus
Kendrick Lamar.
We'll jump off right there, Todd. Give us the latest on this Mayweather-Alvarez fight. Is it going to be one of the biggest books of all time? And will two rappers fight in a lobby and one end up dead on the streets of Las Vegas?
Okay.
Well, the pay-per-view numbers and gate receipts say that this is going to break all sorts of records in a sport that's quickly dying when you look at boxing. Floyd Mayweather's still the best draw in the business, at least out here in Las Vegas, and really relishes the role of villain. But you look at the numbers, Floyd Mayweather, a $2.75 favorite, meaning you'd have to put up $2.75 to make back a dollar. Canelo Alvarez taking an inordinate amount of dog money at plus 235. The interesting part, the rounds prop for this fight started at 11.5, has actually been bet up by about $1, $1.50. So you can expect this fight to go the full 12 rounds. I think that bodes real well for Floyd and his camp.
Yeah, that's how Floyd does it. You know, best defensive fighter in the business. I don't want to talk to the odds maker. I want to talk to the boxing fan. What do you want to see out of this fight, Todd?
Ideally, I'd like to see Floyd do a little more on the offensive side. I know that's not exactly his style by any stretch, and against a fighter like Canelo Alvarez, the goal will be to play defense, hope he opens up, and allow Floyd to connect with a straight right here and there. The reality of it, though, from what I've heard from his camp and some of the guys out here in Las Vegas, that Floyd took this fight because he wanted to stay sharp. He knew that he needed to as he gets towards the tail end of his career. This will be the first time since 2007 he gets into the ring for two prize fights in the same calendar year, and a lot of people have said this is the sharpest he's looked going all the way back to 2005. When he actually had to take on some real competition.
Okay, just how this game will go, I'm interested in a couple of bets regarding Giants-Broncos. What's the under and points? And is there a prop bet for over-under and passing yards in the game?
The number right now, kids, Denver is a 4.5-point favorite, and the total sits at 55. The reality of it, though, on some of the look-ahead lines before we saw week one results, Denver was only a 3-point favorite. So you're seeing the market kind of overreact a little bit. And for those out there that follow NFL football as closely as you guys do, you know how big a difference it is when a number goes from 3 past a field goal, especially on the road. As far as passing props, haven't seen anything out there, but spoke to a few odds makers who say they expect these two quarterbacks to combine for well over 700 yards. I think that number feels a little bit low if you think Peyton can do 350 to 400, similar to what we saw from Tony Romo on Sunday night.
Well, then it's a situation, Todd, where Eli, we assume if the thing plays out the way we think it's going to, that the Broncos get up to a lead at one point, and Eli has to start throwing it around to Reuben Randall, to David Wilson out of the backfield, and to Victor Cruz. How often, how often do you guys take a look at that behind the scenes, behind the curtains in Vegas, and go here? Do you guys map out how you think the game is going to be played, and then work backwards on those props?
You have to a certain extent when you're looking at the modern day and age of the NFL and how these games go. Even for teams that are playing from the Cafford seat, you look at them still out there trying to air out the football, not necessarily taking their foot off the gas, because as we saw on Monday night, a 21-point lead can evaporate awfully quickly. The hard part with that, Peter, when you're setting prop numbers, you don't want to do too much, because if you outthink yourself, what will end up happening is the professionals will see value on the other side, and you'll end up creating some liability and exposure that you can't get off the result. So you're better off erring on the side of caution. If you take a big bet, move aggressively as soon as some of the professionals show their hands.
Hey, Todd, is 8, and I believe that's the number for Texas A&M Bama. Is 8 a little much for Texas A&M considering that they're at the crib?
Well, it's real interesting. When you look at the number that was projected for this game from the Game of the Year lines this summer, Alabama was only a 6.5-point favorite, and you have to wonder, outside of the off-the-field distractions, what's really changed between these two teams? Because you look at Alabama, they only mustered just over 200 yards and 11 first downs against Virginia Tech. And while Tech isn't the same defensively as A&M, they're worlds ahead. You look at this Aggies team and the way they can improvise on offense. You talk about game planning for Johnny Manziel, but if he's doing this stuff on the fly and all you want to try and do is keep him in the pocket, he is the real X factor. I do think as the number starts to climb, it's a little bit inflated. But with revenge, knowing that Alabama's had this game circled for such a long period of time, I'd be real reluctant to go against them, even as the number may approach double digits.
Todd Furman joining us on the press box right now. You can follow him on Twitter, at Todd Furman. All right, see you. Any chance? Break down this Fresno State game, what that line is right now.
Numbers come down. It opened as high as 10. It's down to 8 at this point. Clearly thoughts and prayers with all those folks in Boulder knowing what they're going through with the floods. And you have to wonder if that's going to weigh on the minds of a lot of the football players. But this team's impressed, and more so against Colorado State than they did last week as they kind of went through a dress rehearsal. You look at the offensive firepower that may actually be there. McIntyre's done a heck of a job in terms of covering the number, carrying through from last year when he was at San Jose State and did nothing but make money for some of the backers. I think Fresno State's a little bit vulnerable, and you have to like the revenge angle that Colorado will go in with, knowing that Fresno State could have taken their foot off the gas last year in a 55-point drubbing of those same Buffaloes.
Do the Patriots stink?
I like it. That question.
He doesn't believe the question.
Todd, do the Patriots stink?
I don't know if they stink, but I don't think they're as good as people anticipated.
Yeah.
You talk about that division, and if the Dolphins can make this step up there, futures-wise, the Patriots still listed in that same breath as the Denver Broncos. But from what I've seen for 2 weeks, this offense really needs to figure out a new identity. The interesting part, though, guys, there is a projected Super Bowl number that you can bet out here in Las Vegas. The AFC is a one-point favorite against the NFC, which I find fascinating.
What?
Mainly because probably only Denver at this point would be favored over an NFC representative if you talk about the likes of Seattle, San Francisco, Dallas, and even Green Bay coming out of that conference. So it's real interesting to see how the odds makers see these two conferences stacking up with each other.
It is basically a one-horse race in the AFC, and for that reason, I'm going to throw a complete chink in the armor and just go the other way. Todd, let's just say I'm from a place like, I don't know, Pittsburgh, and I actually still care about baseball, I'm heading to Vegas, and I want to throw down some cash on a dark horse in the MLB playoffs, fast approaching. What is Vegas telling me to do?
Well, right now you're looking at a lot of the teams that are in the thick of the race, all at prices of 25-1 or less. The Yankees at 25-1. You talk about those teams in the National League Central, all kind of bunched together. The Cardinals 10-1, the Pirates 12-1, and you're looking at Cincinnati right in that same mix at 14-1. The team that's actually seen their number drop quite a bit over the last 10 days or so is the Washington Nationals. Only 5.5 games back in the wild card. They were as high as 500-1,000-1. We've seen their price to win the World Series down to 150-1. And if history is any indication in baseball, one team has typically come from off the pace to play spoiler. Maybe the Nats can be that team. As far as the favorites concerned, the Dodgers clearly the favorite. They're available at 3-1. I think they're a little bit overvalued, considering this team is going to come into the playoffs a little bit complacent, not having to play a meaningful game probably for the last 6 to 8 weeks.
All right, Todd, you've been amazing.
Just shut up, Warren. You already pissed me off. I'm not happy with anything that just transpired there. At one point, I blacked out.
You're off the matrix.
We were off the matrix.
When you go off the matrix.
Oh, it's not good.
Oh, God.
It's not good.
Oh, my goodness. We asked the baseball question.
Let us get us back to the matrix. All right, my friend. Give me two games that have been surprising from an NFL stature. What is that 49ers Seahawks game at?
That number's actually, it opened at 3, Peter, and it's been bet down at 2.5, a little bit surprising. More so the public, though, than the professionals taking the side of the Niners. Pretty much the recency bias that we always talk about. People saw Seattle struggle against Carolina. They think that's cause for panic, whereas I look at the game those two teams played up in the Pacific Northwest last year, and Seattle dismantled them. I think there is a ton of value on the Seahawks. As far as an other overreaction, the Philadelphia Eagles, a 7.5-point favorite against the Chargers. All oddsmaker power numbers, for the most part, only make the Eagles about a 4-point favorite, but a lot of skepticism how the Chargers dust themselves off after that emotional letdown Monday night, flying across the country for their first road game, and, of course, all this buzz about Chip Kelly bringing the spread offense to Philadelphia with his hurry-up offense.
How's the power numbers looking for the Chiefs now as compared to the end of last season when they were, 2-14 or whatever they finished?
Definitely some strong adjustments, and there's been some movement on Kansas City this week. The number opened at 1 against Dallas and bet all the way up to 3. The interesting trend is that Tony Romo, when he comes into a game off a cover, he's 1-9 against the spread in the following week. So you have to imagine that Andy Reid will also have a leg up. Knowing the Cowboys personnel, having played them twice a year for a handful of years, whereas Dallas may not know exactly what they're going to expect, as Andy Reid only enters his second game as head man in Kansas City.
He is our Vegas insider. He did rise from the ghettos, the slums, like Wu-Tang Clan, my friend.
Yeah, those Chicago suburbs are rough.
Real rough there. You can follow him on Twitter, at Todd Furman. Hey, be safe there at the fight. Have a good one. We'll talk to you next week, all right, my friend?
Appreciate it, guys. One last prop to leave you with. Johnny Manziel to pick up a personal foul. If you think he won't, you'd have to put up 1-2. So an interesting side bet if you're looking to get involved.
I imagine there'll be some chirping at College Station for that game. Maybe one of the biggest games of the year, if not the century, in College Station. More